Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest-running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30-plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We will hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur this hour. Not happy with the end of practice yesterday. Good. I'd like to see that. Jerry Augustine going to join us around 8 o'clock. Talk some Brewers. Fox Sports Wisconsin. Brewers win last night 6-3. The game does go 14. So the first midweek extra inning game. And get used to staying up for the Brewers. They're in San Francisco next weekend game, so it's not as terrible. But then they go to San Diego, so some late-night games coming up next week. But the Brewers beat the Astros 6-3. They're still in first place in the NL Central. Cubs do win yesterday, but the Brewers do as well. So they're a half game up in the Central. You look at the game yesterday, and I'm not going to make a big deal of it. I don't think it's a big deal. I wonder if people think it's a big deal. I expect this to be a big deal. But I don't know if people do think it's a big deal. I'm talking about the strikeouts and the home runs being like the game these days. And last night, the Brewers struck out a total of 24 times across 14 innings. Okay, well, that's a lot of strikeouts, but they also played four or five extra innings. But in the nine regular innings, they struck out 19 times. And in the nine regular innings, the only way they scored was via the home run ball. So it seems like when you go to a baseball game these days, and you guys can chime in on Twitter at 105.7FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. It seems like, Chuck, if you go to a baseball game, You don't see doubles, you don't see triples as much. You're going to see home runs or you're going to see strikeouts. And I wonder if that is taking some of the charm away from the sport or maybe some of the interest away from the sport.
Yeah, I mean, I like base hits, doubles, triples. So I don't want an all or nothing game. But I don't know why. How did baseball ever get to this? I mean, like in basketball, they've determined, hey, let's Golden State on the ground floor of this. Let's be shooting three-pointers. This is the way to go. This is the way to go. And the Bucks obviously had a lot of success with that this past season. So did a lot of other NBA teams. Who invented, well, let's hit all these home runs, and who cares about the strikeouts, but this is the best way to get from point A to point B. I don't necessarily like it. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the three-point game in basketball, too. But I mean, this strikeouts, you're watching one strikeout after another. And three of the four hits that they got off Verlander last night were home runs. But, you know, I just like to see a little baseball strategy once in a while that, you know, doubles and triples and stealing a base and getting the second and a bunt. But those have all gone by the wayside.
Well, if you want to see that, you're going to have to watch a high school game.
Yeah.
And same with basketball. It is kind of the same. You're right. It is kind of the same where in basketball, it's the three-point and mid-range is bad. But, you know, dunks are good.
Post games have a post game to your repertoire. A down low post guy. You know, look what they do with Brook Lopez. They step him out beyond the arc. They never post him up.
Three-pointers are like home runs.
Yep.
Both good. And then mid-range would be like doubles and triples. You know, not as good. And then you've got strikeouts and then missed threes. Teams can go 15 for 40 from three. And you're like, good. And then teams can strike out 24 times and still hit four homers, and you're like, good.
Yeah.
So it does seem like there's sports, at least those two, and maybe in football too, but really in these two, in basketball and baseball, it's kind of developed into an all-or-nothing type situation.
Like when you strike out three times in a game, there was a time when you struck out three times, like, man, that guy struck out three times tonight. Now you don't even think about it. Yeah, managers don't care. Players don't care. I'm sure they do, but it's like, well, three strikeouts. But if it's a home run in one of those four at-bats, they're good with it.
Lorenzo Cain struck out four times. Mm-hmm. Travis Shaw struck out four times. Now, those guys were both 0-for-6. But Ryan Braun struck out three times. He had a first-inning home run. Yasmani Grandal struck out three times last night. He had a home run. Mike Moustakas struck out a couple times, as did Christian Yelich. How many times did Eric Thames strike out? Just once for Thames. He was the one that did not strike out in the regular nine innings.
He was one of the few guys who made contact last night.
Yeah, no, Thames has been, I think, turning it around a little bit. Even Jesus Aguilar got on base last night, we should mention.
He did.
Now, I know that, you know, kind of went through the shortstop's glove there.
They gave him a base hit on that.
Yeah.
They gave him a base hit.
Take it how you can get it.
Yeah, Yasmani should not have been running on that play. I think maybe Yasmani affected that play a little bit, but it kind of took a hop on that that shortstop, but that should have been a 6-3.
Is it when you're watching a game, I mean, does it grind your gears, so to speak, or do you not really think about it until you look at the box score or hear the announcers continually talking about it?
That's it.
Because to me, an out's an out.
Yeah,
right?
number two, right there. When the announcers are talking about it, like BA and Rocker, well, that's 7 strikeouts. That's 9 strikeouts now for Verlander. 12 strikeouts for Verlander. And the Brewers, you know, they're up to 17, 18. 24 strikeouts. Yeah, you hear them pound it in you, but and there's some innings they go up 3 up, 3 down with the strikeout. I don't really completely take complete notice until they mention it, but I mean, then you look at the box score and you say, man, look at all these strikeouts in this game. My God. But that's a regular thing all around baseball. Right? I don't like it. You know, I like I like a base hit or, you know, getting on with a double. And what do? Do you got to bunt them over for the third for the game-winning run? Or what do you do there? But I feel like – and then when you get the extra innings, everybody's trying to win that game on a home run.
It's basically a home run derby.
Those guys are just sitting back, and they're pumping away trying to win the game.
But it's not – we're kind of focusing on the hitter aspect of it. Like offensively – in basketball, you can choose your shot selection.
Yeah.
There we go, for the most part. In baseball, you're also contending against the pitcher, and these pitchers are throwing harder than ever before. And I've always thought, growing up, that a strikeout is, like, that's what, if I'm a pitcher, I want the strikeout. And I the first time that I heard someone say, well, he wants to pitch to contact, or he's a ground ball pitcher, I don't know how old I was, young, but I remember hearing that for the first time, and I was thinking, wait, the pitcher wants the batter to put the ball in play? I mean, even if they can try to force a ground ball or, you know, get one to sky in the air, you want to strike out the guy. You don't want to give him an opportunity to even put it in play. And so I think more pitchers have maybe evolved too, where you're seeing less of guys pitching to contact and they do want the strikeout, or that's just how good they are because they throw so hard these days.
Or when I hear a guy's a fly ball pitcher, it's like, a fly ball pitcher?
Yeah, that seems the most dangerous.
I don't want that guy on my team, especially at Miller Park.
So his purpose is to get the guy to hit it high and far? Sounds like a home run to me.
Warning track fly balls are good things for that guy. Sacrifice flies. Yeah, especially at Miller Park, man, that's a bandbox there. You don't want a fly ball pitcher at that place. Or when I hear a guy pitching, he's a soft tosser. It's like, a soft tosser? Man, how does this guy get away with why would you want, like, the Brewers' number one pick, the first-round draft pick, the guy that got a couple last week, they said, well, he doesn't throw real hard. He relies on location more than anything with his fastball. And I'm like, oh, boy. And what happens when the location is off, like Freddie Peralta, balls go a long, long way.
But was last night any less of an exciting game to you? I mean, there was a time, I don't think the Astros got a hit for like 10 innings in that game.
Yeah.
Was it any less exciting for you?
I didn't think it was.
Did you even notice it?
You know, I didn't think it was a real exciting game at all. It's like, until you realize, well.
So then, yes, Brewers, it was less exciting. Yeah.
Brewers got two hits off Verlander, and both were home runs. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it didn't get, I wasn't on the edge of my seat for that game last night. I mean, there were a lot of strikeouts. There was not a lot of – I didn't think there was a lot of intrigue in that game, but other than the two pitchers going back and forth and the Brewer bullpen. I mean, that was the game for the bullpen last night and the starting pitching.
Sure. I mean, the other night it was 10-8, so a high-scoring game.
Sure.
You look at this game 6-3, I mean, relatively, I mean, it's still a good number of runs. typically that would hit the over. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, but you had four home runs in the game for the Brewers.
So what it's become is like a hockey or soccer. Baseball is like, it's either you make the shot or you miss it.
Yeah.
You hit a home run or you strike out. And it's becoming that, and I don't know if that's going to resonate over time with people, or what I think is that people really just don't seem to notice it until it gets pointed out, like we're doing right now.
Well, I feel like with Ryan Braun batting 270, I think people are good with Ryan Braun batting 270s these days, when the guy is usually a 320, 315, 320, sometimes 330 hitter, but Braun at 270 is a good thing. Grandal at the catcher spot, 283, you take that. Moustakas batting 278, okay, but 23 home runs. That's an all-star year, despite the 278 average, which you would think, okay, not that good, but still, managers will take the year he's having. You know, I've been on, you know, the Gamble thing. I said, you know, Ben Gamble, man. But people are good with his 255 batting average.
Kevin tweets in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Maybe football has gone a little bit more the way of baseball than we think. Think about Aaron Rodgers passing up the checkdown for the big play, going for the home run versus the base hit.
Yeah, I mean, sounds like that's what it is. Going for the three-pointer, going for the long pass downfield, not running the football, and going for the home run.
Andy is in Appleton, 799-1250. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I'm thinking, you know, obviously this is around the league, but especially with the Brewers, the whole, they live and die on that home run. And I question, could that be a statistics thing? Because that's a huge thing for Craig Council. We've seen it before. That's why they hardly ever bunt. Is it that, you know, yeah, you strike out 3-4 times, but, you know, you get the home run, and that's what puts points on the board. So I wonder if the reason that the league is shifting this way and that the Brewers play this way is because at the end of the day, that's what's going to get you wins. And you might not like how it's played, but that's what it's all about. It's about getting wins, getting runs.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Eric Thames is never going to get released by the Brewers, no matter what fans say. They know he's got the ability to get up there and pop a home run late in the game, like he did last night in the seventh inning. He's going to strike out. He only struck out once last night. He's going to strike out, but he's also got the potential to get up there and turn a game around. So I think that's what the Thames value. That's where he makes his money.
I mean, just looking over time, how many strikeouts per season there are. 30,000 strikeouts in 2005. It rose up to 36,000 strikeouts by 2012. And there were 41,000 strikeouts in 2018. So in the last 10 years, you've added 5,000 strikeouts, and it's pretty much doubled in the last 20 years or so. You're seeing double the amount of strikeouts that you have essentially in the last 20 years. And again, I don't know if that's because with basketball, I feel like people are sort of getting tired of the three or nothing. Live by the three, die by the three, which is, you know, what the Bucks were so successful at, and then it kind of cost them.
Yeah, and when we see a possession like that where a team gets an offensive rebound, kicks it out, another missed three. Offensive rebound, another three try. And again, he misses. I think that's where fans get tired of it. Now, when they're going in, like the Warriors have the capability of doing, it looks really, it's a beautiful thing. When those threes are going and Thompson and Curry are hitting those threes, it looks awesome. But, you know, sometimes it just looks bad. We've seen it look great with the Bucks, and we've seen it look bad, too.
414-799-1250. Let's get out to KJ.
Mahalo. Magalulu. Check out.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, KJ.
Okay.
KJ.
All right. I will let you know.
Oh, boy. He's doing a business call.
KJ.
Aloha.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Who are you talking to? James.
Aloha, Ledge. Oh, I was talking to my ex-wife.
Oh, man. That was a pretty friendly conversation for the ex-wife.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get her off the phone real quick there, Freeze.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Usually my conversations with my ex-wife usually involve a few four-letter words.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to drop any of those.
Good for you.
I did that last night when I was watching the Brewers play.
You're a better man than me.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the idea that this style of baseball is fun to watch and is, you know, a good thing for fans and baseball in general. I think that's a falsehood. I don't like watching guys either hit a home run or strike out, especially last night. I mean, I just couldn't. I did 19 strikeouts in 9 innings. I just can't handle watching that kind of baseball, man.
You know what I really don't like about it is when you see the KJ, you see the shift, and you see all these guys at one side of the infield,
yeah.
and yet you know, ground ball to short right field. I don't get it.
Well, here's to interrupt. Here's a tweet from Matt. He says, "What we're seeing in baseball with the home run and strikeouts is the direct result of the launch angle trend, which was the unintended consequence of the extreme shifts. Instead of learning to hit, guys are just learning how to rake. So that might be part of that. Although the Brewers, and especially Moose, have done a good job lately, I've thought, of exploiting the shift a little bit. I've noticed they've picked up that trend a little bit more. KJ.
Yeah, there's a couple guys that have made the adjustments. Moose, in general right now. Even Thames, I mean, last night, he was hitting the ball. He was making good contact. And Yelich is probably one of the best. That's why he's so good. He's so good at making contact normally. And you don't see a lot of strikeouts from that guy. The rest of these guys, it's so predictable. You know what I mean? You get guys up to the plate, even Braun. I mean, each you throw a slider to him, and if it's, you know, he swings at stuff that's not even close to being strikes. I watched a couple of his at-bats last night, and I just go, what are you doing? You know, and Aguilar, the same thing when he's up there a lot of times. You know, and they don't make the adjustments to try and, you know what these guys are trying to do. I mean, they're trying to pitch them outside. They're throwing sliders, curveballs. You know, rarely do you get a, you know, meatball down the middle, and they're not making the adjustments. So, you know, it's the launch angle, the whole new theory of, you know, analytics that we're going to, you know, either hit a home run or strike out, and it's okay if we strike out. I just don't like that kind of baseball. I mean, you know, yeah, it'll get you some wins. You know, I don't know how the Brewers managed to do that other than the long ball last night, but you can't do that on a consistent basis. You strike out that many times, chances are you're going to lose 9 out of 10 games. You know, so that's my take on
yeah.
it, guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, how do you win a game striking out 19 times?
Mahalo, Magalulu, strike out
9 times in 9 innings, unless your pitcher's doing the same thing. You know, if, not the Brewers were striking out, so were the Astros last night, but 24 strikeouts in a 14 inning game, man. That's, I don't care if they went 24 innings. 24 strikeouts, a lot.
We are served up by Perkins, where you can get a free meal for your kid this weekend. Kids eat free Tuesdays and then Saturdays. So the next chance, obviously, will be Saturdays after 4 o'clock from 4 to close. Kids eat free. You get a meal, and then whatever your kid wants off the kid menu, they will get at no charge. They do that Tuesdays and Saturdays after 4 o'clock, Tuesdays and Saturdays. Make sure you also check out the Strawberry Freshtival menu. You've got a lot of delicious items that they've already got, and now they've put a bunch of strawberries on there. The fresh strawberry croissant French toast, the fresh strawberry buttermilk pancake platters, even the fresh strawberry salad for later on in the day with the smoked pulled chicken and the glazed walnuts, the fresh strawberries, the feta cheese on the crisp garden greens that's available at Perkins. It's Chuck and Winkler. That's who we are served up by from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. We'll hear a little bit from Matt LaFleur coming up. I feel like he, at this point, is the one thing that is keeping me from making a really, really, really bold prediction about the Packers. Although everything I see with LaFleur, I like. It's just that they can't possibly be that good with a new coach, can they?
Well, look at the Los Angeles Rams. They came in there, and people loved him until the Super Bowl came. Yeah,
I'm a Packers fan.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, it's possible it could happen, but I don't know. I mean, first of all, he doesn't seem like a real eccentric guy. Now, not that that matters, really, but how's he going to be over? I mean, I think there's going to be a question, is he in over his skis a little bit as a head coach?
We'll talk about Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll do that next. Chuck and Winkler on the...
Well, I feel like we're coming together as a team. There's a long way to go, and I think our guys realize that. You know, just watching today without watching the tape, there's still a lot of sloppiness that we have to clean up moving forward.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan. That's Freems. I'm your boy, the Ledge. Want to get back to calling me that, Ledge?
Go ahead. No, we haven't called you that in a while. It's been a few months.
It's been a couple of years.
No, really?
It didn't stick.
Thought that was like a last year thing.
Chuck, on my birthday a couple years ago, said he was going to call me the Ledge, the Legend.
For the day I did.
Yeah, and then, you know, it stuck with some listeners. And
yeah?
I thought that maybe...
Bring it back.
I'm not going to bring back my own nickname.
Some guys do.
Yeah, I know that's lame.
Yeah? But you gave yourself that nickname.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's okay.
So then I should kill it right now.
You could call it, you could talk about yourself in third person.
My name is Bart Winkler.
Oh, you could do
just
it.
Just call me that. Call me that. I think that the Packers, can we talk through my Packer feelings? Can we do that, you and me? I feel like the Packers are good enough to go to the Super Bowl. And I think the thing that's holding me back is that they've got a new head coach, and it just doesn't happen. But again, could I be buying into, things that come out of training camp where it's like everything's positive? Although, you know, Matt LaFleur there has noticed they've got some things to work on, and obviously that's true. You have a new system, you've got a new coach, but with the guys that they've gotten and some of the things they're saying, I mean, Devontae Adams talking about Darnell Savage, how we got a steal, and you know, some of the new leadership that's come in on defense, and just my personal re-falling in love with Aaron Rodgers, who I've been very down on the last few seasons. I don't know, man. The only thing I think that is holding me back from saying this could be a very special season is just the fact that it's Matt LaFleur's first year. If it was his second year or third year and they had the same team, I might go that far, but I think it's an arbitrary thing right now. I'm almost embarrassed at how good I think the Packers can be, is what I'm saying.
Well, here's the deal. I feel like every time this time of the year, especially when a new coach comes in, you hear all these great things. And I think this was the same way with every guy who's coming here as a first-year coach. And you hear players talk about it. And it's not only in Green Bay. It's with the Bucs. It's with the Brewers. It's with any team. They talk about, wow, it's a new day here. And you know, boy, the attitude around here is so much better. And we got this going on and that and all that. And people get excited, okay? And I think that could be part of it. I think people are excited that there's a new coach. Not sure if everybody's all on board with LaFleur just yet as on this hire. I think there's still a lot of skepticism out there regarding him. And I think in the offseason, too, just like when they hired Patton last year, the defense is going to be a new day for the defense. The defense is going to be here, and, you know, just got to get the offense to produce a little bit. I'm going to wait to the regular season. I'm going to stick by 9-7 until I see otherwise and see how these other teams are around the league. Now they got to play the Bears in the opening week. That Thursday night, that's going to be tough. I don't think they're going to be bad, but I don't think they're going to be a 12-win team either.
One thing that I think, I won't say criticize me is the right word, but I think that you've pointed out about me is that a lot of times I'll be very optimistic about our team's chances. I'll say, you know, the Bucks are good enough to go to the finals, and mm-hmm. the Brewers could go to the World Series, and the Packers can go to the Super Bowl, and I'll say those things. But in the last, 10 years, that's what we've been complaining about. We've been complaining about them getting so close. So they've had good enough teams to get there, and then they just fall short. So if I'm going to say again this year that I think the Packers can go to the Super Bowl, I don't want that to be looked at as, oh, stupid cheerleader Bart always thinks his teams are going to be good. They have been good for the last 10 years. They just can't get over the hump. And I think that one of the deterrents for that has maybe been the relationship between Rodgers and McCarthy, and McCarthy with the entire team, and they quit on him. And with all the new pieces in here and a new head coach, I'm getting very optimistic about the Packers the thing that's holding me back is, yeah, it's a new head coach. What are you going to see? And then I just don't want to be, I just don't want to be, I'm like embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that that's it. I'm embarrassed to think that this team can be, you know, Super Bowl quality.
They're coming off two bad seasons. The one two seasons ago, Aaron was hurt, so I'm not going to put that on him. I'm going to eliminate that one. Last year, that was a very underwhelming season for many different reasons. And I think when they do fall short of preseason expectations of not only you, of other people too, I think it's because of injuries too. I think injuries play a part. I mean, people don't want to hear that, but look how many times, like during the season, we're talking about, is this guy going to be ready? Is this guy going to be ready? And Rodgers has been pretty steady up until a couple of seasons ago of being playing healthy, but the Packers have been so decimated by injuries. I think that has gotten a lot of weight. Look at the game, the playoff game in Arizona a couple of years ago, Barb, 2016, I want to say, when in Arizona they're down to, you know, using guys who aren't even in the NFL anymore as their main wide receivers. Abadaris, Jeff Janis, guys like that. So I think injuries have
played. Abraitis.
Yeah, Abraitis. Abraitis, and we're going to war with Abraitis and Janis. And I think that's the reason why. I think
Janis!
Jeff Janis!
Janis!
Jeff Janis!
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 Jeff Janis!
Janis!
All nine of them, including Jeff Janis.
Janis! You're
killing me, Ledge.
Party, no speaky?
Yeah. So that's right. I think injuries. I think injuries played a part in it.
Do you think that...
injuries play a part every year.
When you look at, again, the Packers and why you wouldn't take them to go far, I don't know if there's a... Like, what's the weakness? Well, what would be holding you back?
You know, I think the guys on defense... Now, we all like the defensive coordinator. You know, are they going to stay healthy? And these new pieces that they got in defense, their edge rushers, they seem good. The safety, Amos, out of the Bears, seems really good. Okay, are these guys all going to fit in and stay healthy?
So I guess I'm not asking you why are the Packers going to go to the Super Bowl.
And
I'm going to ask you what's holding you from saying the Packers will go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, other teams, are they as good as the Rams? Are they as good as the Bears right now? All right, the Bears won the division last year. Yeah, they might be a good team, but they're not as good as the Rams. They're probably not as good as the Bears. Obviously, they weren't last year. I mean, that's what you got to look at. I mean, all right, do you think they're better than the Rams?
I think they can be. I think the Packers can win the Super Bowl.
Are they better than? I mean, if they're not better than the Rams, if you don't think they're better than the Rams, like I don't think that'd be my reason. I don't think they're better than the Rams. I don't think they're better than the Bears.
Well, I don't know what's going on with. If you're going to talk about the Rams specifically. I don't know what's going on with Todd Gurley. Is Jared Goff going to be as good as he was last year? Yeah. Their defense has lost some guys.
Well, I mean, you go around and you look at...
They were a Ty Montgomery fumble away from beating them last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could see them being better than the Rams.
We'll see. You know, the Packers' offensive line, how's that offensive line going to hold up?
Yeah, offensive line depth is always a concern.
It's a problem with the Packers. Sure.
They look like they've addressed it. They got Cole Madison back. They got this Billy Turner.
Okay, but, I mean, the starters. How's Bulaga going to be at right tackle? You know, I mean, the rest of those guys on the offensive line. How about the wide receiver spot, Geronimo Allison?
Oh, I've got no worries about the wide receiver spot.
He's
got
to step up. Those young
Packers
guys,
wide receivers are—they're going to be good.
Well, we hope so. I mean, the young guys got those guys all got to take an extra step as wide receivers. Valdez Scantling looks like he's a rising player, although he didn't finish the season as well as we'd liked. But I mean, he's got a lot of talent. They have talent at receiving core. Are they all going to get on the same page with Aaron Rodgers?
Jason's in South Milwaukee, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Jason.
What's up, guys? Hey, you know, Rodgers, I mean, Bart, you said, you know, you've been kind of down on him the last few years, and I'm assuming you just meant last year because the year before that he spent, you know, 75% of the season.
No, you're right, and he was playing at an MVP clip, too, before he got hurt.
He was. They were starting to roll. That Dallas game was something else, man, the way they played it. I think Rodgers is going to really bounce back this year. I do. I've got a good feeling about it. I just hope that him and LaFleur, that chemistry, they can gel, and Rodgers doesn't try to be the smartest guy in the room, because that's just going to hurt him, and it's going to hurt the team if he acts that way. He can't overlook the obvious receiver 8 yards downfield. Take what the defense gives you. As far as our defense goes, I mean, we don't have room for error at this point. With the moves they made, with the coaching staff they brought in, they need to make the playoffs this year. I don't see them winning the Super Bowl this year, but I definitely see a 10-6, 11-5 season. But again, that's contingent, really, on this defense stepping up and playing well. They've got to be impact players from our, you know, from Darnell Savage, Rashawn Gary. I don't know how he's going to be with the shoulder thing, but our free agent acquisitions as well. These guys have to step in and lift this defense up a little bit more than what it was last year. And even so, last year, though, going back to Rodgers, the guy was banged up the entire season. I mean, week one, dude, he was banged up, and he still competed with the best of them. I mean, look at his yards, his passer rating. Look at his touchdowns to interceptions ratios. But it was still not the Rodgers that we were all used to. He was just Rodgers with the rest of the pack. You know what I mean? I have a cautious optimism with this season. I really do. I think that they can get back into the playoffs this year. But as far as the Super Bowl goes, I don't think this year would be the year. I could see a divisional round loss unless, you know, the Packers just hit the ground running and they're just geniuses in the front office for all the moves they made. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, there's some teams that are better than them right now. Okay. I think New Orleans is better than them too. Los Angeles is, Chicago, possibly, maybe the Falcons. But it's not that the Packers aren't a good team. They're a borderline playoff team. I just don't think they're a great team.
What about the Packers is holding you back? Well, not that the Rams, not any other team. No other team is your answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, although that factors into it, but if you're just saying the Packers, I think the offensive line, if they can stay healthy, and how good are they? In addition to a new coaching staff, how's Rodgers going to gel with, you know, LaFleur? How these new pieces on defense? They seem to get a little faster on defense. How those guys are going to fit in? The secondary is always a question mark. Is that secondary going to be good? You know, some of those other guys got to play well in that secondary. I don't think they're going to have a bad season by any means. Now, I don't look at them and say 5-11. I say 9-7. They could get the 10-6. But I think the reason why they don't go to the Super Bowl is they're not as good as some of the other teams.
Ryan tweets in, hey, since you're digging up old stuff like the old Jared Aberderis and Jeff Janis drops.
The greatest.
Janis! Do you still have that audio from a couple years ago about that older gentleman imitating you guys? Yeah, we can find that again. You remember that guy?
No, who was that?
A guy
that?
Named Larry?
No.
Yeah, no, I'll play it again.
Well, did impersonated you and I?
Yeah, he did.
I remember an older guy doing a song on us.
Oh, no, that was Dick.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember the guy impersonating. I probably will once I hear it.
No, you will once you hear it. Yeah, there was a guy named Larry that imitated our show.
Okay.
And you're thinking of Dick,
who did a song,
sang this song about us.
Chuck and Bud. That's the name of our team, and they will win with an effort supreme because they broadcast the professional way, and that's why we
love Chuck and Bud.
Yeah.
All right, I'll find the other thing that Ryan's looking for. And okay. Then the question for you guys is, what would be holding you back from a Super Bowl-type run? All right.
What would be holding you back besides LaFleur?
Being embarrassed.
No, I mean, it's the team, not
nothing.
You. Okay, so you're all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's embarrassing to me.
Because you've been all in and they failed you before?
Yep. Yeah. And it just seems like doesn't it seem like it's becoming my shtick?
That you're all in on teams? Well,
yeah,
I feel like you are. I mean, you know you're a homer.
Yeah, but I rationally think the Packers talent is good enough to go to the Super Bowl.
No, I don't think it is.
But I hesitate to say that because it looks like, I know what it looks like. Just looks like, it looks like it's fake.
Because you've been on the Bucks bandwagon.
Because I've been on everybody's bandwagon ever.
Yeah.
Except for the Brewers, because I always think they need to do more, and then they don't, and then they're good.
Oh, you were on the Brewer bandwagon after the first week of the season. Remember, you said they were going to win the division?
Oh, I did. I said it was over.
Yeah, you said the season
was over.
Well,
look at that. They're in first.
They're in first place. Yeah.
So hold me to that.
Yeah, they don't even need help. They're in first place, man.
799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler on the fan.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Bart Winkler, and I'm here with my good old buddy Chuck Freeman. You know, I'm the number one beta there is, right, Chuck?
Yeah, what are you talking about, Bart? You know, I mean, I'm sitting right next to you. Jeez, I mean, what the hell?
Okay, that's enough out of you, Bart, Chucky. All right, now we got some, we got a clip here. Remember this one?
Jeff Janis! Janis! Well, Jeff Janis!
Okay, that's enough of that. Hey, Chuck, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, Bart, you play it enough. You know, I mean, you know, people are probably kind of sick and tired of it. Jeez, you know, what the hell?
You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was about 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Kudos to Ryan for remembering that.
That was good stuff.
Tweeted it by request.
I sound like John Candy.
No, you sound like Chuck Freeman. That's what you sound like.
John Candy trying to do me.
That was a listener, Larry, sent that in a while ago. You want to hear just a little more?
Sure.
There's just a little more.
All right. I'm Bart Wink Tinkler, and I'm back here with my good buddy, Chuck. Chuck, you awake over there?
Well, yeah, what do you think? You know, I'm listening to the Brewers. I mean, what the hell, Bart? I mean, do you want me to go to Perkins? Or, you know, just meet there and get your big Bart's breakfast. You know, what the hell is that all about, you know?
Hey, come on now, Chuck. That's the only thing I got named after me, so give me a ring. Okay. We got another commercial coming up here. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Bill Michaels with erectile dysfunction, and my good friends at New Medical, yeah, they hooked me up, and you know, I'm really doing good now. So you wanted, good luck, man. Good luck with that. You know, ED, you don't want to see it, but we just said it. Okay, so good luck, man. And there we go with Bill Michaels. See you, bye.
Yeah, you love Bill Michaels.
All right, Bill's on the show too. Okay. His impersonation of you sounds like one of the guys on the fishing show that we have on Saturday mornings here.
The best show that we have?
Yeah, the fishing
show. Outdoors.
Cutting Edge Outdoors, yes. One of the guys on that show.
Do you like his impersonation of you?
Like I said, I just told you, he sounds like it's John Candy, or it sounds like me trying to do me. And I was listening to his voice, and it just sounded like me trying to impersonate me. If that makes sense.
No, it does.
Yeah.
Okay, I got 30 more seconds. 30 more.
All right.
And we're almost done with the show here, and we haven't bet on anything yet, Chuck. What do you think? I mean, am I like the number one beta, and you're the number two alpha? What do you think of that?
Well, you know, geez, Bart, I mean, I've been listening to you, and I don't know. I mean, I tried to get the Hall of Fame business, but you know, I swear to myself, I mean, what the hell? Geez, I mean, I don't know. Try something else.
Well, you know, Chuck, it's our final commercial here, so let's get right to that. On what are we again? We're 105.7 The Fan, you know, or AM 1250, whatever. I hope you guys are listening to this stuff.
Very good stuff.
All right.
From Larry by request from Ryan.
If Larry's out there, we need a sequel from Larry.
Larry sent a sequel, but it was like us doing a show at the zoo.
Okay.
And it really just focused on a lot of his zoo animal impressions.
Okay. So
we
good.
Need a non-zoo version.
Well, the sequel's never as good as the original.
No, that is true. Wow. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. This is us. That's Chuck. This is me. And I was telling Freems over there that I've got some... I'm almost embarrassed that I think the Packers are as good as they think they are again. I got a message from my buddy Bryce over at the Unknown Packers podcast. I did a podcast with him and those guys like in February, way before the draft. And they said, I think the Packers can make the Super Bowl this year. And I said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And now here we are. And I'm like really buying into it. He says, I like your style. Go Pack, go. Remember where you heard it first with our friends at the Unknown Packers
so
podcast.
So you initially told him that he was an idiot for picking the Packers.
Yeah, no, I laughed at him.
And then now they haven't even played a game yet. Or even, you know, they've had these OTA practices, the mini camp practices, but now you're all in.
Well, I'm seeing a rejuvenated Rodgers. I like the running backs. I like the wide receivers. I like the offensive line. I like the tight ends. I like the defensive line. I like the new schemes that are going to be implemented.
Most
I like
those guys,
the fact that they're going to design coverages.
Most of those guys are back from last year, though, what you just mentioned. Same
well,
team.
I don't think the offense on the offense, yeah.
Mine is Randall Cobb.
I love the offense.
Yeah.
And the defense, I didn't, and now I do. I mean, where's their weakness? Offensive line depth?
Offensive line, period, I think. offensive line. You know, can their running back stay healthy? You know, we like Aaron Jones, but we're finding Aaron Jones isn't 20 to 25 carries a guy. You know, I mean, how's the running back situation going to work out? You know, the receivers, are they going to get on the same page with Rodgers? I think there's a lot of question marks. And, you know, the defensive line, I think, is going to be very good. They got some more speed in defense. And is the secondary going to defend anybody?
Let's go to Corey in Burlington. What's holding you back from proclaiming the Packers could be on the way to a Super Bowl-type run? Corey, what's up?
Corey.
Morning. Oh, man. Bart, I love you, but I don't know what you're drinking today, man. Like, I hope I am dead wrong. But I just, are we watching the same thing? The last couple of years have been just such a...
I know. The last 2 years have been bad, and I'm so optimistic about this offseason that I'm embarrassed.
You kind of should be a little bit. You got to be so cautiously optimistic. Yeah, they're making moves, but, you know, they're returning the same defense that they went like last year. What's going on with the running backs? Are they going to perform? I don't love the receivers as much as you do. I think there's promise in the young dudes, but... I don't love our tight ends. We have offensive line depth issues. Like, it's just, there's question marks all over the place. And then there's a brand new head coach. So, yeah, I think they could definitely win games, but the Bears seem to be the better team. And, you know, I know you want to take the other teams out of it, but you can't. I mean, they play in a league with other teams that are better, the Saints, maybe the Eagles, the Rams, the Bears. I hate to say it. I don't know. I'm a lot less optimistic than you, but I don't know. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they got talented wide receiver. Are those guys going to be, I mean, are they going to take the next step up? Like St. Brown, you know, how good can he be? I think he could be really good, but, I mean, let's see it. You know, I thought Jamon Moore was the disappointment last year. Valdi Scantling, I think is a guy on the rise. But I think when you look into how good of a season are they going to have, you know, can they go to the Super Bowl? You have to factor in, like he said, and I was telling you, are they better than other teams? Sure, they can be a good team, but are they a great team? Can they be better than New Orleans? Can they be better than Atlanta? Can they be better than the Rams, who won the NFC last year?
Well, New Orleans is very good. I'm high on them.
Yeah.
The Bears, I think, will be good. If the Packers don't win the North, it will be the Bears.
And, you know, Packer fans...
Although they've got a new defensive coordinator... They can't find a kicker.
You know, Packers.
And Mitch Trubisky is still Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky.
You don't like Trubisky?
I think he's better than he gets advertised as, but he's still nowhere near than Rodgers.
Yeah, he's got to take another step in his. Oh, of course not. No, he's got to take another. He's got to be take another step up in his career this season, too. But I think Packer fan looks at the Bears and said, the Bears. So they're still the Bears. But, you know, the Bears won the division last year. You know, the Packers got to be better than them first.
No, here's – okay, so as far as my Packer thoughts, I'm getting very excited about this upcoming season and what it could be like. The only thing I know for certain about this upcoming season is that they will get waxed by the Bears in week one. I think that the Bears are going to win that game pretty handily.
But you think at the end of the day the Packers are going to be better than the Bears?
Yeah.
But week one, the Bears are going to dig in and – Thursday Night Football.
Game. Yeah.
You know who I like is Rashawn Gary.
I like all these guys.
Sounds
Gary,
like,
Savage.
I mean, again, these guys are only practicing in their sweats, but Gary sounds like he's going to fit in nicely with this team.
I really like the front seven. I like how many guys are going to be able to move in and out.
Do they have any Pro Bowlers on that front seven?
I think they have a lot of very good players.
Yeah. Do they have any stars?
The unit's going to be better than the individuals. I mean,
Blake Martinez is very good, but is he a star?
I don't know, Kyler Fackrell, double-digit sacks.
Yeah. But is he a star? Do you look at Kyler?
From what I understand, Kyler was the number one baby name for boys in 2019 so far in Wisconsin.
Because of his year last year?
Yeah, everyone wants to name their kid after Kyler Fackrell.
That's news to me.
Malik's on the north side. What's up, Malik?
I think people should be naming their kids Malik.
What's up, Malik? What's how you doing, Bart? Bart, normally I disagree with you. Man, I'm a Bears fan, so let me just put that out there first.
Ooh.
But I think the Packers can do it. The reason why I think the Packers can do it is because Rodgers has to buy in. Last year, you guys would have won the North with Rodgers playing on one leg if he just would have bought in, hit his receivers that the defense gave him. And Chuck, y'all defense is not bad. Y'all don't need stars, bro. What y'all have is a good unit. Y'all got a great defensive coordinator. Y'all stole the guy from the Bears, which is Amos, which was a great steal. You guys just got to sit back. Hopefully Rodgers buys in and y'all defensive line, y'all offensive line holds up. Malaga, to me, y'all should have been got rid of him and got somebody for the future. But if Rodgers buys in to LaFleur, you guys are going to win the Super Bowl.
Hey, it sounds like you're the one Bears fan I've talked to that hasn't convinced themselves that Clinton Dix is an upgrade from Adrian Amos.
Yeah, he's not.
Every Bears fan in the world is like making arguments about how the Bears won that quote-unquote trade.
No. Clinton Dix is
terrible.
How can I say this? He's bad. You guys stole. That solidified you guys. And this young kid, Savage. Oh my God. If his shoulder's right, that's the only thing I didn't like what you guys did. You went and got another guy with a bad shoulder. But if his shoulder's right, as long as y'all defense is top 15 and Rodgers buys in, you guys can win the Super Bowl. The Rams, you guys are in that game. The Saints, you're right there. There's nobody else to me. And the Patriots lost Gronk, and Brady's what, an old man. So I understand they won last year, but to me that was basically a toss-up because the Rams just folded. But it should have been you guys and the Rams if.
Well, the Packers couldn't make the Super Bowl last year. Yeah. All right, that's a lot of this. I think the Packers safeties with Amos and, Savage, who's not played an NFL game yet, okay, look good. Jair Alexander looks like the real deal at one of the cornerback spots. Can King finally get on the field, stay healthy, and be the first-round draft pick that the star that we hoped he was going to be when he was drafted?
All right, I'm going to continue to chew on this, but as of right now, I'm feeling pretty good about a season ahead for us.
All right.
I'm embarrassed, but
I still think they're going to have a decent season, just not a Super Bowl winning season.
We'll see if the Brewers have a World Series winning season and what Jerry Augustine thinks about this home run, strikeout, or bust trend. Augie, St. Augie, Fox Sports Wisconsin. He's up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.